I'm just looking to hire guys that I don't mind hanging out with for like 12 hours a day. You guys seem like cool guys. You got hair similar to mine. You wear tuxedos to the interview. That's funny. It's ironic. I get that. You're kind of underplaying the whole formality of it. I think that's funny. So let's do this. You know, you guys are hired. You're in, you know, unless you're like the weirdest guys ever and I don't see it.
Great.
Good morning, afternoon, or evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Sloan Fuller, and I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Career Chat. Dr. David Rosenthal teaches marketing at Miami University. He has won numerous teaching awards and is a dedicated advocate for job seekers. He has been working with recruiters and career services for many years. This is the second episode in our series of conversations with Dr. Rosenthal. This episode, we'd like to help our recruiting partners with some tips, specifically how to have a consistent presence and operate a meaningful internship program to find the best possible employees.
Probably the most important thing for a recruiter in order to be successful in recruiting students at Miami is to make certain that you have an enduring and meaningful relationship with the Office of Career Services. Working through the Office of Career Services enables you to post information on our website. That in turn gets posted to other schools and universities so that your position descriptions and your conditions of employment, whatever information you want to put up there, gets conveyed to your target audience. So it's absolutely critical. Secondly, I would say that it also helps you in terms of equal employment opportunity to make sure that your word is widely spread and that it is provided as information to everyone without any fear of discrimination or issues of that sort. The second thing, I think, that once you've established a relationship, once you've signed up with the Office of Career Services, once you have established recruiting dates, etc., then the best thing that you can do is to develop relationships with key faculty members. The faculty members will act as a clearinghouse for you. They will act almost like a broker. They will be talking with their students, and they will quite often know what the students are interested in, what the students' skills and abilities are, what the students' attitudes are towards certain companies, whether it's positive or a negative. And they can convey a lot of information to the students about you. If they know what your positions are, if they know how many people you are looking for, if they know what the work conditions are, where the locations are, and if they have had students who have gone to work for you and have had good experiences in the past, then they can pass that information on to the students and make recommendations. I'll give you an illustration. There's a company called the David J. Joseph Company. Nobody knows the David J. Joseph Company. No student has ever come to Miami University saying, "Boy, I want to work for the David J. Joseph Company." Well, just for your information, the David J. Joseph Company is the world's largest and one of the world's best brokerages of ferrous scrap metal. In other words, they buy rusty junk from one person and they sell it to somebody else, namely the people who make bright, shiny, new steel. In making steel, it's a lot easier if you have scrap metal. It takes a lot less energy, it's a lot more efficient, and you can control your product an awful lot better than if you are buying iron ore. So as a result, this is a commodity out there, but finding rusty junk and pricing it appropriately, given the market conditions, and selling it at a profit is what these folks do. As I said previously, no student ever came to Miami University saying, "Boy, I want to sell rusty crud." Well, over the past 30 years, I have probably introduced 20 or so Miamians to that company. Many of them have been hired. Many of them have had lengthy and very prosperous careers with this company. Why? Because I know what the company does, and I know what my students are looking for, and therefore I can act as a broker for these brokers. Develop a relationship with key faculty members. Now, figuring out who those are may be a little bit difficult, but once you identify those faculty members, they are worth their weight in gold to you as your broker, as your agent, in finding the right kinds of students and passing them on to you. Operate a meaningful internship program. Students can also act as guides and ambassadors. If you hire a good student and put them to work in a meaningful program, first of all, they're going to learn your business. Secondly, they're going to spread the word that this was interesting. It's an interesting business or industry to be in when they come back to school in the fall. You may decide to hire them, or you can decide, maybe I don't really want to. It's kind of a long interview. Call it a 10 or 12 week interview. And in that time, you can find some really good students and some really good employees. Also, if you do decide to hire them, you can keep them on the line during the year by giving them minor assignments, paying them a little bit of money so that they're not out delivering pizzas, but they're actually doing a project for you and your company that has meaningful implications for both. Then, when you bring them on board at the beginning of the following summer, once they've graduated, they'll hit the ground running. And you've invested relatively little as an intern to give them one heck of a good training program. So it's really in your best interest. The third reason that you want to do this is because the best students tend to go with companies that have good internship programs. So if you want the very best, you can't just waltz onto campus and think, wow, we're just super and we're wonderful and therefore students should want to go to work for us. It doesn't really work that way. Students have their own opinions. They tend to follow brand names. And particularly if you are not a well-known company or not an industry that students would generally think of, you probably need to do some work in order to promote your business. An internship program can do that for you, in order to hire the very best students. Promote the company and the position. You've got to spend some time and some energy getting the word out. Again, the faculty can help you with that, but that's not enough. You need to work through the Office of Career Services. You need to spend time here on campus just in having a period of time where you are interacting with students. So pre-nights, incidentally, are a nice thing, but that's one day ahead of time. If you come in 4 weeks ahead of time, you can significantly impact the number of students who might want to sign up for an interview with you. So a one-night stand prior to your interviewing date is probably not the best way to do it. Coming in early and coming in multiple times during the year, and there are lots of ways that you can participate. There are student organizations where you can come in and speak. There's a career fair that we have. There's a spring internship fair that we have. You can come in and do resume triage. You can have just an exploratory night where you serve pizza for the students. Or you can come in and sit in on classes or participate in classes and make presentations. You've got to promote the company and you've got to promote the position. And it isn't all about the web. The best companies don't require students to submit their resumes online. When you come to a career fair and a student waits in line to talk with your recruiter, spends an hour waiting in line, steps up to the plate, does all that they're supposed to do in communicating with you, sells themselves to your recruiter, and the recruiter says, "Oh, I'm sorry. I can't take a resume. You have to submit that online." What the student does at that point is they walk away and they say, "I'm not going to work for that company." Most of the time, what you have done is wasted the time of your recruiter, you've wasted the time of the student, and you've created a bad taste in the student's mouths. Not a good proposition. The best companies, some of whom have already tried this, Hershey is an example, tried this approach where they would not accept resumes. They were putting it all online because it was more efficient for them. It was more efficient, all right. Their productivity went down, and they finally turned around and said, we're going to stop this process, and they went back to accepting resumes face-to-face. The best practice is to create a personal relationship. No, it may not be the most efficient in terms of numbers, and your HR people may not appreciate it because they want to go online. But I'm telling you right now, it's not going to be beneficial in the long run because you're not going to hire the best students and you're going to have more turnover and more dissension. Ultimately, it comes down to this. You need a consistent presence and you need to be persistent. You need to be here. You need to be consistent in what you say. You need to be persistent in getting your message out. You need to work with the faculty. And that means you need somebody who owns the relationship. Typically, that would be the HR person. But in my experience in 34 years of working with the Office of Career Services and recruiters and students here at Miami, my experience is recruiters don't last very long for the most part. The best companies keep them, and they have people who are there for years. Best practice is to have a consistent presence and the right person. Not so good practice is the kind of turnover that we tend to see. Every year or two, there's somebody new, and there isn't any continuity, and there isn't any continuity from one person to the next. The HR person who was here last year doesn't hand it off to the person who's here this year. The new person doesn't know who to talk to. They don't know who to work with. They don't know what the processes are. They don't know what the hot buttons on campus are. And as a result, they do a poor job. Think about a sales force. You have a salesperson who's calling on a loyal, longtime customer. And that salesperson has all kinds of information about how that customer operates. And that salesperson retires and doesn't pass on any of that information. What's going to happen to that relationship? Best practice would be that there would be lots of notes, lots of call reports, and that the old salesperson would accompany the new salesperson in handing off the client to them. You may want to think about that in your efforts at selling your company to the students here at Miami University.
Thank you for joining us today on Career Chat, brought to you by Miami University Career Services.